Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, January 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. You can find it by using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Today on the Ether, we have the ST Sol and Option Strategy Vaults on Solana Space with Tap Finance. Let's take a listen.
Hey, everyone. Just waiting for a few more people to join, and we'll kick it off.
Hello, hello.
And we'll already have the Tap Finance guys in here.
Thanks for having us.
Anytime. Thanks for joining. Very excited to learn more about Tap.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Excited to share.
Just waiting for Jacob to come on, and then we should be good to go.
I'm here.
Perfect. So, yeah, I guess to kick it off, we recently launched a Staked Sol option vault or a covered call strategy on Tap, which allows all Solana stakers or ST Sol holders to earn an extra yield on their staked Solana while still reaping the benefits of staking their Solana with Lido, which is, of course, in the form of earning a daily staking reward, as well as contributing to, I guess, the growth, decentralization, and stability of the Solana network as a whole. And with us today, we have two guys from the Tap Finance team. If you could quickly introduce yourself and give us a brief introduction to Tap and what you're working on.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go first and then I'll pass it off to Jerry. So I'm affectionately known as a Sol Striker. That's my Anon handle. I have been building in tech for about 10 years, about 8-9 months actually in Solana. Was working on another protocol before this. We won one of the prizes in the previous Solana hackathon for those of you who are familiar. Maybe I'll give an intro about Tap and kind of like why we started and kind of our mission. But before that, I'll just pass it on to the other leader of the protocol, Jerry, for a quick intro.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Sodir. Yeah, I'm Jerry, the tech lead at Tap Finance. I've been working as a software engineer in Web2 companies for a few years. And before that, I co-founded a couple of startups, all in the Web2 space. So Web3 is pretty new to me. Just started beginning my journey in the Solana space a couple of months ago. Just around the time of like Solana summer, right? And this whole experience of building Tap Finance and building a Web3 really blew me away. And it's been a super side journey bringing Tap Finance from just a concept to the hackathon, to the MVP at the hackathon, and now it's live on mainnet with the support of everyone here. Our ST Sol bot, just like after a week's launch, is now our biggest like bot in terms of PVR right now on Tap Finance. So thank you so much here.
Yeah, big ups to everyone here for the support. Appreciate the Lido team for the support as well. It's been awesome. So Tap Finance, what we do is make options strategies simple. I'll give you guys a little like genesis story about, you know, how we started Tap and why. Over the summer, Jerry and I were kind of noodling on different ideas for projects on Solana specifically. And, you know, initially we were looking at how can we make sustainable yields, you know, having gone through a crypto winter in like 2018, 2019, we're all too familiar what that bear market looks like and how the yields really dry up. So one of the ideas we were first looking at is like, you know, maybe we should connect kind of real world loans to crypto, like finance SMBs and stuff, and realize there was a ton of regulatory red tape there. And at that same time, right around the end of summer, PsyOptions, which is kind of the leading options protocol on Solana, had just launched. We're like, awesome. This gives us a great platform to build on top of and automate option strategies, which Jerry and I are both out, not to fully dox ourselves, but we're both out here building in Singapore. And for those of you, I don't know if anyone's here in Singapore, but the Asian markets, like folks out here are very used to structured products being sold to them by financial advisors. So it's a very common financial instrument for retail investors. And it does provide a stable yield. So that's how we kind of came up with the genesis of Tap Finance as a whole, which is at its core, making options strategies simple. So, you know, what are option strategies? Well, really what they are is we sell options, either put options or call options or a blend of put and call options to formulate strategies to sell yields. So what we do is we take money, we basically accumulate, whether it's ST Sol for the covered call vault, and we use that money to mint options at a strike price that's far out of the money, usually around 15 to 20%. Those options are minted, they're then sold to market makers. So market makers are buying these options OTC. We run an auction every Friday after each epoch ends. The money comes back into the vault that generates yield. The yields vary. Right now, the yields are really high. Like on ST Sol, we're about 55%. And that cycle continues in perpetuity. So the yield is sustainable. It's not going to go away. There will always be an option for options. There's always going to be a market for options, I should say. And more importantly, the yield you're getting, and I think this was one of the really cool things that drove both of us to Tap, the yield you're getting is not inflated by inflationary tokenomics. So like, we're not printing Tap tokens to boost our yields. And a lot of you folks, you guys have played around in some of the different, you know, L2s or maybe BSC kind of in December or January. There's all these kind of AMM farms that would pop up, right? And they would have all these crazy yields. And a lot of those yields actually come from inflationary tokenomics. What's the problem with that? The yields are very attractive, but eventually you have this pump and dump cycle. And you always kind of have to worry about hedging your yield. Well, in a structured products space, like a covered call vault, you never really have to worry about that because the yield you're getting is actually the yield of the asset you're depositing. And so in this case, it would be ST Sol for ST Sol covered call vaults. I think with that, I'll probably just pause and pass the time back off to the Lido folks so I don't ramble on.
No, perfect. That's a very good intro. So just one question out of curiosity. So you mentioned sustainable yields. How can users or depositors expect the, let's take the ST Sol vault APR, how can users expect this to change as, I guess, either as the price of Solana or ST Sol changes or as the amount of deposits in the vault?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know if it's just me, but you're cutting in and out for me. So I don't know, Jerry, if you caught that, maybe you can jump in to answer the question.
Yeah, I can answer that. So in terms of the expected yield you could get from the ST Sol vault, that's not dependent on the price of ST Sol, but it's dependent on the implied volatility, the options we are selling. So as long as what we view of the sustainability of our yields is just in terms of whether Sol would remain a volatile asset, and whether that, like, if Sol remains a volatile asset, there will be demand for options from market makers to hedge their positions.
That makes sense. Just checking if my mic is fine here, or
I think it was my connection, so I just popped off my Wi-Fi. Yeah,
no worries. Okay, so going back to that, what kind of can you touch upon the risks for users or depositors for these kind of strategies?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so the major risk of depositing ST Sol into our covered call vault is when the strike price, when the spot price of the ST Soul exceeds the strike price of the covered call options we mint. So for example, for this week, the strategy was to mint options with a strike price of $220. If ST Soul at the end of the week hits $240, when that happens, the holder of the option tokens will exercise the options and would end up, the vault would end up having USDC instead of ST Soul. And the vault would form a liquidation to convert the USDC back into ST Soul at $240 per ST Soul. So because of that conversion, the vault would end up having less ST Soul, and that's the loss that the users would make. And because the strike prices that we choose are really far off the money, we expect that this liquidations and exercisation of options would happen less than 10% of the time.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty important point to note. It's that even though the options generally would get exercised, you know, maybe 3-4 times a year, for holders that are in the vault over the long term, the gains they make on the yield for the periods that that they don't get exercised generally far outweigh the periods they do get exercised. So your blended yield is generally 20%+ when you look at it over the long term.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. This is Jacob, by the way. I help with business development and partnerships at Lido. Just out of curiosity, what helps to drive market maker demand in this instance? Because that tends to be what helps supply the premiums for the users, assuming they don't get called. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, what interests market makers to enter or exit these types of positions?
Sure. I think it's a couple things, right? One is folks are using options as a kind of delta hedge. So market makers might have large positions, let's say a big axe on Solana, for example. And depending on how the market moves week to week, they may need to rebalance by taking the other side, so they can remain kind of in a neutral position and still make money. That's one. Another is that market makers generally make money by buying and selling, by taking both sides of these options, right? So what generally happens as well is these guys have books that are, like one of our biggest partners, QCP, has an options book in the billions of dollars, right? So they might have outstanding puts on Solana that they know they can sell at a certain spread on a different chain, for example, and they'll again buy the other side of that on Solana, and they mix together all their options together on their books. So it again nets out as a positive gain for them. The intrinsic demand, I would say, is coming from, as Jerry mentioned earlier, like as long as crypto assets remain volatile, essentially what we're doing is we're selling volatility. And market makers will want to buy that to hedge their positions.
Okay, so generally the more volatile a market is, that tends to entice them better. Is there any plan to ever let non-market makers or smaller retail be able to participate in the auctions? I don't know if that's on the roadmap or being considered by you guys.
Definitely. I think like I will pass it off to Jerry to explain a little bit how we're planning to bring the bidding on chain. At least initially, it'll probably be limited to market makers, just so we can guarantee that the full options books kind of will sell out. But yeah, I'll pass it off to Jerry to explain a little bit how about the automation works.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something definitely on our plans. The reason why I started with this OTC process for summing up options is because we weren't sure whether there would be any sufficient liquidity on chain to sell our options directly to everyone, right? Including market makers and retail. But as we have seen the past couple of weeks, there's been an explosion of activity in the option space. Before we launched, there were probably like a couple of millions worth of collateralized American options being traded on side options per week. But now, like with the explosion in TVL, there's $100 million worth of TVL of options being traded. So our intention right now is to partner up with Visa options during markets. So our option tokens will be listed directly each week on the Serum markets. And we're exploring a couple of mechanisms for pricing of the options. So initially we could be going with a OTC process where we request for a quote from the market makers and we would price our option tokens on the Serum markets at that particular price. So even though it's listed at a price agreed upon between us and the market makers, anyone could come in at that auction time and purchase it off the Serum markets directly from the PsiOptions UI. The other alternative that we are exploring but will require more us to be more thoughtful in terms of execution is to hold a Dutch auction on the Serum markets where we'll set our price of the option tokens at the highest price that we think we could sell for theoretically. And we would lower it by the minute until we manage to sell all the options off.
Okay. That gives people a way to, in the future, yeah, enter into the process as well, which I think could be really valuable for more advanced traders that are interested in it. Since we are in the world of DeFi and everyone loves composability, what are some of the additional features or functions that you think could be built, if any, on top of something like Tap Finance? I'd just be curious to hear if you've had thoughts about how that layer could be built on top of and continued.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we're really striving to do after kind of getting some initial vaults that are kind of the base assets. But like ST Sol in and of itself is a great example of what composability can look like, right? Like, you're basically stacking yield on yield. Probably the next iteration of that will look like LP vaults. So for those familiar with the Solana space, you can think of a stable swap LP, like in a Mercurial or Saber, for example, that will be, let's say, ST Sol Sol. So two like assets that could be generating, you know, swapped fees already, or maybe even some emissions from those inflationary tokenomics on those platforms. And we'll accept those as collateral itself. And that just allows folks to not only stack, for example, staked Sol yield, but AMM fees as well. So now you're talking like L3 of composability. Going beyond that, there's some ways folks can build onto our strategies as well. So if you're and there's not a great example of this on Solana right now, but you can imagine a Yearn, right, that creates kind of strategies on top of other protocols. Like, we're an open protocol, people can build on top of us. We can also build on top of other folks, so we can potentially funnel yields in the holding periods to other protocols to farm yields. So I think the simplest answer is probably LP vaults coming up next, and then more complex strategies about what we're doing with users' funds when they're waiting to enter and exit a position that we can generate yield.
Okay. Yeah. I know a couple of the AMMs and DEXs are working on allowing their LP tokens to be used in other protocols. So I think that would be really valuable because you see, you know, the prime example over on Ethereum is Curve's LP tokens are very, very composable and used everywhere. And I would love if someone built a Yearn competitor or is working on one that I'm not aware of, because that would be great too. I guess, you know, going forward, what are some of the other things you have planned for the next 6 to 12 months? Kind of what are the priorities as you guys get ready to expand more?
Yeah, I think that's a question probably on everyone's mind in the option space. There's a few protocols doing similar stuff on Solana. I think for us, we're looking to create vaults that are very bespoke to the Solana ecosystem. I think the Stake Sol was a pretty successful vault for Tap. Other native Solana assets we'll be looking to integrate with, whether that's like a Solana specific meme coin like a Samo or a Woof, for example, or that's a very specific like a stable coin LP. Those are all things we'll be doing in the next probably, you know, 1 to 6 months. additionally, we as Jerry mentioned, we are planning on automating the bidding process, not only to let folks in the ecosystem participate if that's something they want to do, but also that would allow us to really scale, right? We have 5 vaults now. To get to 20 or 30 vaults, you can imagine that doing manual like OTC bidding on that would get pretty hairy. So that is definitely one of the keys for us to scale.
Very cool. That makes a lot of sense. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. I just wanted to add that one thing we are really excited about is integration with other under-collateralized European options protocols. So we are really looking and actively working on integrating with up-and-coming protocols in that area. So right now, the American options protocol that we are integrating with requires 100% of the collateral to be locked up in the protocol when the options are being minted. So with under-collateralized protocol, you can imagine leverage put selling bots, for example, where you can earn twice the amount of yield per week because you only put up 50% of the collateral and you get to mint twice the amount of tokens, options for sale. Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's like we have so many things on our roadmap for the next 6 to 12 months. We'll be bringing really exciting bots onto the Solana scene.
Okay. No, that's great. Casper, I'm not sure if you had any other questions, but this was super helpful to hear about what you guys are doing and some of the more advanced strategies that are going to be implemented, especially since it leverages ST Sol from our end.
Yeah, no more questions from me. I think it was interesting to hear about.
I actually have a question for you guys that I think would be pretty interesting. And that's, you know, we've been like personally bullish on ST Sol. I think it, like Lido is a great product in and of itself. Wondering what the plans are for you guys as you expand in the Solana space a little bit greater over the next, like what's your short-term roadmap look like?
Yeah, that's definitely in my wheelhouse. the biggest priority we have, especially over the next month, is just increasing availability of ST Sol on DeFi platforms. With the launch, there was a lot of learning process. That was the first protocol we launched with like an external partner, Course One, who's just been awesome. And increasing things that now seem very obvious, like we're going to increase exposure pairs to stable coins across more of the AMMs and DEXs so that anyone would be able to trade in and out of their position directly to USDC or USDT. We are exploring, we just got listed with Solend, so we're exploring the Solend or other lending type markets and also trying to keep track of more, I guess I'd call this the third level, the more exotic traditional finance world. So looking at fixed income integrations, covered calls, strategies like you guys have, coupon stripping, pretty much any of the more advanced uses, as well as working on additional exchange listings where we can. We just have no ability to really push on that as a DAO. So just increasing the coverage, a big one we're excited about, especially towards the end of this month, fingers crossed on, you know, audits and timing of tech implementations, is BSOL, which is going to be bridgeable to Terra and will be used as collateral and anchor. The specific nuance there is what that will do is sell the ST Sol yield and convert it to UST, because Anchor is all about giving you that 20% APR, but they pay it out in their stable coin. So that'll be a big differentiator that I'm really excited about, is getting functionality of ST Sol outside of the Solana ecosystem as well. I know that's kind of a lot.
No, that's awesome. Like, I think you guys are doing a lot. Actually, funny enough, we were chatting with the Course One guys back in the day on the last protocols working with us. So we saw some of the good stuff that they put out, setting everything up for Stake Sol.
Yeah, that's kind of the main goal, is this month is just massively increase utility and productivity of ST Sol.
Makes sense.
Awesome. Well, not sure if there's any other questions from the audience or anything. Happy to stick around for a few more minutes. But, you know, thank you so much for hopping on a call, talking about the protocol, and letting us, you know, shill ST Sol a little bit. If anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand in the audience. Otherwise, we'll probably hang out for another minute or two and close it out.
Yeah, maybe a request to the folks on the call, if no one has any questions, is if there's something you guys want to see built in an option strategy, whether it's a vault or a more exotic strategy like a straddle or something, you know, feel free to, our DMs are open. So we want to build with the community. We want to do more integrations like folks like Lido. So feel free to drop us a line. Let us know what you're interested in. We're always happy to chat. And thanks again to the Lido team for having us on. It's been great.
We have a request from the audience that we can try out.
Sure.
Contra Indicator, you are now live.
So first off, I just wanted to say I appreciate the fact that the term implied volatility came up. I've been following like the, you know, DeFi options vault space pretty closely, and I'm actually working with the PsyOps team a little bit, and I've been kind of amazed at some of the protocols that are coming out or some of the ideas that are coming out in the options space, where everything's just directed towards yield. And actually, embarrassingly, there's even been a few team members of certain projects that couldn't really even point or tell you what type of implied volatility that they were looking at. I was curious, with your system, does it end up having like an oracle that feeds from a more centralized, like a Deribit or something that that has like implied vols, or is it its own supply and demand curve, like when it comes to pricing and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, honestly, what we do is like we just take OTC bids. So the pricing is really dependent on how many market makers we can get bids on for the products we have. So we're at six right now. So the more we have, there's a more spread of what kind of pricing we can get on the IV. There's no like bonding curve that we set up and we say this is a target price that we're looking at. And the reason for that is probably if we can't fill the orders, essentially we lose on kind of yield. So the way we kind of look at it is a order that might be under like what the IV should be on a Deribit is still better than no order at all, right? Because we're still generating yield for our users. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. As I've been walking through just the game theory of it in my own head, and like I said, with a few, you know, there's been a couple kind of red flags, not at all with you, want to be clear about that. But, you know, I've seen some red flags and I keep getting flashbacks to the traditional world of finance and, you know, Volmageddon a couple of years ago. And I just want to make sure that this isn't like a consistent call overwriting that ends up pushing vols way too low. And before you know it, you know, all of a sudden, I just want to make sure that it's not too abstracted. I understand that like DeFi and crypto is meant to be easy. And the whole point is to, you know, take away some of the complexity, but also I think there's a important part when you're selling insurance. And as of right now, I just keep hearing in the general like narrative, you know, it's always directed towards here's your yield, you know, and obviously a lot of the smartest people in options will tell you that is a way to look at it, but that's probably not the best way to look at it. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, that's being thought about and it's not just a kind of a race to the bottom in vols, because eventually someone is probably going to take a risk that they don't quite understand and they think they're getting a yield, and all of a sudden, you know, they don't realize they're actually taking on, you know, an illiquid position, that they're not properly selling insurance at the right vols. So
totally. No, I totally know where you're coming from. We actually try to be pretty specific with the risks. Like if you see our vault section, we have like this big risk that tries to explain exactly what's going on. And every time we do one of these conversations with folks, we do try to explain that there are inherent risks. We were selling volatility, right? And that's the position that you're taking when you enter the vaults. The exact like nomenclature of why we call it yield or APY, I think we had some Twitter conversations with folks back and forth. That's probably simply to make it easier for folks like to understand what they're getting. I do think there's a broader conversation to be had about this exact topic. I'm happy to, like, we work pretty damn closely with the PsyOptions guys, so I'd love to chat with you offline about this, and we can do on some cool stuff about option strategies too.
Yeah, for sure. I will definitely be running into you. And real face, one last thing. You know, that's one of the cool things about crypto. I mean, I've watched so many friends. I come from the traditional world of finance, but I've watched so many friends come down the crypto rabbit hole, and, you know, it's like a crash course in everything finance. So I think it's a cool opportunity to start. You know, you can explain yield, you can abstract away some of the complexities, but also I think it would be a cool thing to use it as a learning experience to kind of, you know, say, hey, like all things, here's covered calls, you know, if you're taking the other side, here's going long calls, and here's some more educational stuff that ends up, you know, abstracted away, but then once they're in the market, actually teach them what they're doing, because at the end of the day, I love the world of options, and it's a fascinating place. So always cool to see everyone else joining in. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Look forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we have another request, if you have time, on the Tap Finance side.
Sure.
Juan, you are now live.
Not sure what happened with a contraindicator, but I do have a question.
Perfect. Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, so thanks, guys. So with the context of, pretty sure you guys have seen the proposal from IndexCoop to tokenize some of Ribbon Finance's options vaults and make those liquid and accessible as ERC-20 tokens. I'm curious on what your thoughts are on, or what are some opportunities and challenges in potentially tokenizing options vaults and making those kind of widely available across the Solana ecosystem.
Right. Just want to point out that our option strategy vaults are already tokenized. So when you put deposit STSO into our vaults, you are getting a representation of your position in our vaults in SPL tokens. So yeah, I think tokenizing option strategy vaults is really adds to the composability of the entire protocol. Because not only can you generate yields from debt finance, in the future, other protocols could compose on top of debt finance. And for example, you could imagine a portfolio manager kind of vault where they could accept USDC and they could deposit their USDC into various debt finance strategies based on their overall strategy, and they could diversify across a STSO vault, USDC covered call vault, for example. I'm not too sure about the Ribbon Finance ERC-20 proposal, but Stryker, do you want to add to that?
No, I think that's pretty much my thoughts. One of the challenges, I think Contra was bringing this up earlier, is that actually you're also kind of selling an illiquid asset until expiry. Like the underlying assets that we use to mint are locked up till expiry because they are locked up so they can be sold at the strike, right? So I think for now that does propose a challenge, but I'm interested to learn more about kind of like what that Ribbon proposal looks like. To be honest, I don't have a good understanding of what they're doing.
Yeah, another point about tokenizing strategy vault is that you enable users to liquidate their vault tokens if they need to exit their position quickly. Because if it's not tokenized, you have to wait for the options to expire before you could withdraw your yield, your collateral, and the yield that you have gained. Whereas if it's tokenized, you could sell it. You could exchange it OTC on a serum market to a counterparty that's willing to purchase your bot tokens for a discount. So I see that that is probably like the best architecture that we could come up with on our side.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Okay, awesome. I think we can wrap it up. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been great.
Yeah, look forward to working more with you guys in the future.
Likewise.
Thank you so much. Once again, thanks for all the support from everyone here from the ST Soul community and our inaugural ST Soul bots.
Hey, perfect. Thanks for joining everyone. And ask away on Twitter or Telegram if there are more questions.
Cheers.
See ya.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the ST Soul and Option Strategy Vaults on Solana Space with Tap Finance. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, bringing you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it by using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. We appreciate their support of Terra Spaces. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Boots stepping on the concrete where the rocks meet. Nighttime special ops flushing out the raw meat. If you think you want beef, think again promptly. Oddly, the bombs never dropped on the party. Probably the odds were too damn alarming. Disarming the population, that's a hard feat. Hardly break up the booze and the drugs. Wait till the bodies drop, then roll up the rugs. Raise up an army of suicide Barbies. Never bring a plastic knife to a gun battle. Gotta praise mommy for the do or die heartbeat. Gave up killing, now she's back in the saddle. Better pick a side, let them go gather. When the dogs of war are out looking for their master, feeling all wore out like a blood donor. But they wouldn't take it, didn't have the right aroma. When the enemy strikes, you better have a flashlight. Never have I seen darker days in my life. Everyone got a handout, looking for a pardon. Me, I'm just lucky, I found a good partner. The look on the face when the shit got started. A bunch of dead bodies, dearly departed. It's merely an art form made out of cardboard. Got a brain and the headed blood pumping heart for. Keeping everything saturated like a drugstore. Fighting through the lines like a blood sport of sorts. Just trying to get enough food to live. Can't grow your own when you're living in the shit. In the midst of all this, we never got our shit together long enough to sit and think about the bigger picture. Whether or not we ever had to run the risk, rather be a carrier gorilla in the mist.
But we need to remember that this virus will pass, but the decisions that we make today in this atmosphere will last. We will have to live with them, our children will have to live with them, all of our posterity will. It's not just about America. It's not just about your city. It's about everywhere.
Terra Spaces.